I'd like to call this message Perilous Conditions. Perilous Conditions. If men do not allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them into truth as obedient little children, the devil will. And since the Holy Spirit was given to lead men into all truth, whatever men receive without the help of the Holy Spirit is not going to be the truth. And as such, whenever men vote on doctrine or what, you know, whatever, don't count on truth. And whenever great men say, well, I think, don't count on truth. See, we don't have anything within us that is capable of thinking God's truth. And so God said, I will send my Holy Spirit to men for that specific reason, to lead and guide them into all truth. See, we're told that because men loved darkness rather than light, and my question would be, what about loving a doctrine so much so that instead of checking it out by the word of God's truth, men would embrace a unity through diversity mentality so that they don't have to judge by God's eternal word and, you know, say, well, I like it, what I believe, and I'm refusing to quit no matter what. And so rather than go all out for the truth, men compare what they believe by what others believe and conclude that their belief is a little better maybe. And anyway, and in in 1 Peter 4:18, it says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? We're all going to hear the truth at some point. And however, some will turn their ears away from it in this life, but only on the day of judgment it's going to be spoken, whether they want to hear it or don't want to hear it. See, some don't want to hear about the fear aspect of God. And why? Because they don't have a clue as to who God really is. If men don't really know or believe that they were created by an awesome God creator, they will never ever be able to turn to Him for eternal life. It won't happen. Now the devil said in Luke 4:6, he said, for that is delivered unto me, that or given, that to whosoever I will, I can give the kingdom. He says the kingdom has been given over to the world, has been given over to me. And therefore he was offering it to Jesus, and Jesus, being the one God had chosen to be the propitiation for our sins, refused to give place at any point, in any time, in any way, to the devil. Now, we are warned that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But should not the great emphasis be upon education? I mean, that we have today, shouldn't it take care of the problem and so that we end up with right things? Won't people become nicer? You know, well, see, theoretically, I suppose that it works by theory. However, education also causes people to put their trust in false values, to begin to doubt God's existence, and to put their trust in men. See, we have to not forget that God has made the devil the god of this world. I just read that, you know. He said, God, the devil said, this has all been given to me, and God made him to be that. And as such, very seldom today do we see genuine God-believing teachers in the schools and those over the school systems as well that are God-believing. And so, and for the most part, Men are taught to trust the wisdom of great men and their and what they believe. In 1 Timothy 6:20, it calls it the oppositions of science, falsely so called. See, the scientific values and thought patterns and so forth that have been concluded by men are not necessarily God-given. They could be. God could be involved, but for the most part, they're not. And so what they do is the science system opposes the kingdom of God and God's values. And it says, does not science itself today reveal the impossible? No, the Bible doesn't say that, but this is what I say. Does not the science itself today reveal the impossibility of there being a God? False science, falsely so-called. It tells us to avoid the vain and profane babblings. However, how do we do that when unbelievers are over the education of our little ones? And so we do have a big mess. However, God is always bigger than any mess. So we got to take this into consideration. And to complicate our education situation today, almost all of today's so-called Christian schools, almost all of today's so-called Christian schools are steeped in the doctrines of churches that are also in false doctrine. And so, to have our children taught that the man Christ Jesus, whose blood and his total obedience is the foundation for our salvation, see, to taught that the man Christ Jesus, whose blood and his total obedience to God is the foundation for our salvation, is actually a God, is almost as devastating as being taught there is no God. I mean, what has happened? The devil has pulled a fast one on the churches, and they have changed the identity of the man Christ Jesus, the Lamb sacrifice, the one that shed his blood, the one that died on the cross, and they've made him into a God image that in the minds of most people could not have died on the cross, did not have blood, and so forth. And however, only God knows how to take care of this, and as such, I have been subject to major areas of false doctrine all of my life. But God has and is having great mercy upon me and us, and allowing his words of truth to wash away and to penetrate some of these devastating myths. And of course, the scriptures reveal, the scripture revealed identity of God's Son, I believe, is at the top of the list and makes men free. When it says that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free, I believe that this revelation is probably near the top or maybe at the top of the list. There has been a freedom that has come over me as a result of this understanding. But I, you know what? I didn't get it except from the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding. And in fact, I'm not so sure that any of us yet understand the significance of this major revelation. I don't think we understand it. The fact that the devil has worked so hard to change Christ's true identity within the minds of millions of people should give us a clue as to its value. As how the devil has managed to deceive so many. And I believe 1 John 4:1-3 was and is one of the most major insights that the Apostle John ever gave to us. And he said, do not believe the spirit of any prophet. See, here's what he's saying. Do not believe the spirit of any prophet. that tries to say that Jesus Christ was not and is not a man. Any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not from God. And in fact, the works of the Antichrist will be tried to try and change that. It appears from verse 3. Within the hearts and the minds of men, in fact, those who do understand this type of a thing will instruct many and will be hated by many, and whose hearts and minds have been deceived and brainwashed, since in John 17:3, it is easy to miss the fact that eternal life is not only knowing the Creator, the one and only true God, but also in knowing the man Christ Jesus that God sent. See, it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says eternal life, or it says that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, if it says it there, it also says it everywhere else. And so to not only we have to know the one true God, but we also have to know the one that Jesus Christ, or that God sent. And so he has, the devil is quite aware of how important this is, and so he has devised nice sounding deceptions to take away the truth and therefore the God-given power of that truth. See, there's power in truth. In Acts 3:6, Peter told the man that was lame from birth, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then in Acts 4:10, Peter again told the rulers that the man that had been healed, he was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in fact, the title Jesus Christ of Nazareth is used seven different times in the book of Acts. And one of them in Acts 22:8 is where Jesus himself is saying this about himself: "I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And this gives us the earthly location, which is not deity, of where Jesus Christ was from. See, the man Christ Jesus. And while those with eyes that see, and ears, or eyes that cannot see, and ears that cannot hear, easily pass right over things like this, those with a real love for the truth find more evidence of the true identity of the one who is as a man, reveal the image and the nature of the invisible Creator to all who are willing to see. See, we find the evidence. It says that he was in the bosom of the Father. One spirit within another? Well, that's a possibility, but that's not what we're seeing. God brought forth a man. God created men in his own image, which was only revealed in the only begotten Son, who had the divine nature of God, and thereby showed forth the pattern that God had in his mind for all men. And so by receiving a love for the truth, and therefore both receiving truth and speaking truth, Ephesians 4:15, we will grow up into the same image as Christ, or how about into God's divine nature? See, Christ was the expressed image of God, and therefore could rightfully say, "He that sees me sees the Father." I mean, God's invisible. You're not going to see God. God's a spirit. God is spirit. And so it says, "And once if Christ is formed in us," Galatians 4:19, "and by continuing on in Christ's words, we allow those words to make us free, we are then able to change from glory to glory," 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's a good verse. They're all good, but that's a good one. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we are being changed from glory to glory into the same image. Of whose image are we talking about? Even by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being changed from glory to glory into the same image. And that Jesus Christ was the expressed image of the invisible God. And so anyway, when God created man, the image of himself in Christ had to be what God had in mind. Okay? The image of himself in Christ had to be what God had in mind. And since God is truth and holy and righteous and love and all things good, and man decides to resist that and wear the image of the devil, is man still in God's image? You know, I don't think so. See, Christ was the expressed image of God's divine nature, of the invisible God, of the spirit being who created all things. And while the religious leaders of his day were the expressed image of the devil's, I mean, the devil's evil nature, so were they the image of both? Or do we actually, in Second Corinthians 3:18, do we actually go through a change so as to become the image of God from glory to glory through our relationship with Christ? Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong many times. But from the scriptures, it appears that man was created with the image potential. And by our faith and commitment, are able to slowly change into the image of God through Christ until we are able to manifest the image nature of God. Is that true? I think so. I realized one morning that many people somehow view Jesus Christ as the God who overcame sin and the world. That's the way they see him. As the God who overcame. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So most church leaders and teachers see Christ as having a dual nature, dual personality. And I remember that, hearing that from a number of sources years ago, that sometimes he spoke as God, sometimes he spoke as man. And sometimes, you know, and however, Jesus himself said in John 14:10, "The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Or how about he does the speaking? He speaks, I let him speak through me. And especially since Hebrews 1:2 tells us that in these last days, that God has spoken to us by his Son. And in Deuteronomy 18:18, God tells us, or it tells us that God is going to put his words in the mouth of his Son, of the prophet that he raises up, just like unto Moses. And Jesus let us know that God sent him, you know, John 3:34, or John 3:34, John the Baptist told us that the one that God sent, which is Christ, speaks the words of God, and which can only be the Christ. See, he said the one that God sent speaks the words of God. And I'd say that Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And Jesus told us that he was born and sent only bear witness to the truth, which could only mean that he represented someone greater than himself, which was the Father. And he said, the Father is greater than I am. See, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that who considered themselves to be experts on the law and on the Word of God, he told them, he said, you neither know the Scriptures nor the power of God. And my thoughts are, very few churchgoers here have eyes or ears to hear and, you know, when it comes to the to God's word. They're not able to hear it. They're not able to see it. And therefore, most people buy things from the devil, contrary to God's word. And as such, unless God had begun to open his word up to us, we would also be without a clue. But anyway, I'm not so sure how much we appreciate what God has given to us. I'm not so sure, and myself included. Until God's word actually becomes God's word within men's hearts, the Bible is no different than many other literature books that we read. And therefore, it becomes powerless. If we don't have the faith to activate it, it's a powerless resource. God blesses those who delight in his word and meditate upon it day and night. And why? And how does he bless? Well, he blesses us by showing the false things that we have embraced and leading and guiding us into the obvious truths that are within God's word. There's a lot of things that are obvious. But if we have no relationship with the word, if we don't delight in it, if we don't want to hear the truth when we read it, we don't get it. And when and if men are ignorant concerning what God's word overwhelmingly says, then they are without understanding and do things contrary to God's will. If we're not willing recipients, then we end up doing things contrary to God's will. Now, I have no idea as to how to determine today's ungodly religious condition versus any other time frame. I don't know how to determine how bad this time frame is. However, Paul prophesied and labeled the last days as perilous. And perilous is just about as dangerous and bad as it can get. And as such, I firmly believe that today's perilous condition has to do with a lack of respect for truth. There is an overall lack of respect. Maybe it's ignorance, I don't know what it is, but there's such a lack of respect. And as such, notice the rest of 2 Timothy 3, like in verse 7. See, it says, perilous times, and men will have a form of godliness and deny God's power. What about verse 7? It says, ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the reason being, they're not hearing the truth. And so they're asking, well, what is the truth? And then in verse 8, it says, this is warning about the end time. Right after verse 7, it says, men will resist the truth. And then in verse 13, it tells us, this is 2 Timothy 3:13. It says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so, with the unscriptural false doctrines that we have in abundance today, you tell me if verse 13 is not right now happening. We're right in the middle of it. Evil men and seducers, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's hardly a church system that is not in deception who have people that are deceiving and being deceived. And when people say, we can't really prove the Trinity from the Scriptures, but if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll go to hell. I tell you what, they're going to go to hell themselves. And so, I am amazed at the impact the Catholic Pope is having even now upon America. Could he be the man of sin? I mean, this is what people used to say, well, you know, the Antichrist is going to develop and come right out of Catholicism, which it could be, and they have said, you know, all the popes and different, well, I tell you what, the Antichrist certainly has been active in the Catholic Church. See, everything about the Pope and the structure of the Catholic Church is unscriptural and clearly opposes the Word of God. And so I say, you with eyes that are able to see and ears that are able to hear, watch all of this carefully. As for me, I see flashing lights. You know, everywhere I look, I can see flashing lights. And I am not so sure that this is not all significant. However, there is something totally strange that's going on. And if the Pope is received with open arms, then what about the big shots within the Muslims and the other organizations? Won't America be forced to embrace their leaders as well? See, the devil is at the point where he is about to throw everything at us that he's able to find. I mean, we have sinned. We have fallen short. We have embraced things that God hates. Abortion. The gay society. We embrace these things. God is going to bring the nation down. I can't see the Muslims putting up with a Catholic Pope. I can't see it. And so what we have is false Christianity versus ungodliness. You know. And I have to be honest. It does not seem possible that God is able to do anything to offset today's mess. However, God is able to do the impossible. And that is a true Christian's hope. And yet, very few pew-warming churchgoers even know that there is a mess. And if God had not pointed us towards His Word of truth, we would never know ourselves. We wouldn't even be able to pinpoint it, to discern. See, Revelation reveals as God sees. Revelation reveals what God sees. While most of what we have ever known is how and what men and demons see, which basically is nothing. The devil has tried to help us, throw us off course. Men have tried to help us, and they've really thrown us off course. See, the Holy Spirit-led Word of God is revealing to us that we do actually have potential of becoming the image of God. I don't know if that's worded right, but it's like this image thing has been a puzzle to me for years, and yet it's right in the very beginning of the book of Genesis. Let us make man in our image. So man, God made man in His image. And it's like, I'm not so sure that I've ever heard a proper definite or description or interpretation of that. I've heard a lot of them. I'm not sure I've ever had one myself. And I'm coming to the from the scriptures to the conclusion that God created us in with a potential to become His image. And which meant that we could only become that in Christ. Over the years, whenever I read that God created man in His image, I never bothered to try and understand what it meant. I never did. It's not that I'm sure now. I'm not, you know. However, if what I'm beginning to think that I see is accurate, then it appears that a nature change is the image change. See, it says in 2 Peter 1:4, it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, the scriptures, we are being changed, or we are going to take on the divine nature of God. Well, that's the image. When they saw Jesus and He said, He that sees me has seen the Father, they didn't see a figure. They saw an image of the invisible God. It says in Romans 8:29 that God foreknew, that those that God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. See, are you hearing that? Romans 8:29, those that God foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. And in Revelation 3:14, Jesus Christ calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation. The beginning, I mean, he was, when he died on the cross and said, "It is finished," was the image complete? Did he become what God had called and sent him to become? Did he become what God had created man to become? And now we are to be conformed to that same image until we become also what God has created us to become. In 1 Corinthians 15:49 it says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And in 2 Corinthians 3:18 again, see, it says that we are being changed, that we are being changed into Christ from glory to glory, as by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And in Colossians 1:15, it calls Christ, who it calls him the image of the invisible God. And in Colossians 3:10, and it says, "A new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And in Hebrews 1:3, it calls Christ the expressed image of God's person. That's what it says. And then it says, and so on, and anyway, and I'm not sure that the word image or imagination means to us what it meant within God's word in the beginning. I'm not sure that I don't know that we have the right understanding. See, God is an invisible spirit, or is invisible, while man is both visible and tangible substance. And so, how man can be in the image of God has to be a great mystery. Unless our ignorance creates the mystery, and because we have not really been allowing ourselves to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Suppose somehow, 1 Peter 1:10-11, the Spirit of Christ that prophesied through the prophets of old was with God when God created man. Isn't it? I can't see anything that eliminates that. And so, if Christ was with God in the beginning as a spirit, and God said, "Let us make man in our finished image," knowing what he was going to do, I mean, you know what? Is that right? Don't build any doctrines on it, but I'm saying there's a lot of things that are beginning to make a lot more sense. And so it says, God created man in his own image. What about in his image potential? And since 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being changed into God's image in Christ as we go from one state of glory to another, is it maybe possible that the image that God had in mind was based upon the finished product in Christ? That Christ had to complete the course before we could be brought into that image? And so, when Christ said, "It is finished," Could the image also be included in what he's saying? See, Christ was referred to as the expressed image of the invisible God. And since God does not see as we see, is it possible? And it's just, you know what? I'm just trying to put the scriptures in line, and maybe I'm wrong, but I tell you what, let's let the Holy Spirit sort this out and see how accurate, see if we can get it. Is it possible that God was saying, let us make man in our expressed image, or an active substance that would openly express both the Father and the Son? See, faith pleases God because it openly expresses God and God's will. In Matthew 10:32 and 33, Jesus said, those who confess me before men express, is that the same thing? Those who express me before men, I will express, or I will confess them to the Father. And so we need to be aware today. See, most churchgoers have a hard enough time even inviting people to their church or even confessing their church, let alone confessing Christ. And so how far away are most people from Matthew 10:32 and the rest of this, of that setting? You know, Jesus said, you think that I came to bring peace upon earth? I came to bring a sword and division. Man's foes will be those of his own household. And it's like, explain that to me. We want peace in the family. Didn't Jesus come to bring peace on earth? That's what he said. You think I did? How about this? And when I realized the weakness of mankind, is it any wonder that so many aren't anywhere near the confession stage? They don't even know who they're confessing and why, just like the Matthew 7 people. I think that was talking about us, this generation. But Lord, we did these things in your name, but I didn't know you and you never knew me. And if they saw him as a deity, they didn't know him. The faith that comes by hearing God's word is missing today because they're not hearing it. And so church attendance has substituted for the confession of, you know, confession of faith, and men's hearts are nowhere near Christ, and they go to church and they're taught that because you go here, God is pleased at what you're doing, and you're, you know, you're secure in God, and they're not. Anyways, I love you. God bless you. Perilous conditions are here. I just saw where Putin from Russia is going to go over into the Middle East, and I thought, I've been wondering when what's prophesied in Ezekiel like 37, 38, 39, somewhere in there, about God putting a hook in the jaws of Magog, which used to be Moscow, and it's Russia. And those that mistreated his people, that tortured and tormented them, Germany, Russia, these nations, and bring them up into that area around around Israel. And I thought, oh, my. They go over there, and the other nations go over there, and they're going to be in for it. Anyways, God bless you.